Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
We've just had the family over from Singapore. A big troop came over. And I tell you, when they get together, they are loud. They go all night. They never stop. My energy comes from her. So anyone who knows me knows I know really nothing about cars. My husband, on the other hand, is a little bit obsessed with cars. He works in the automotive industry, so anyone wanting to buy or sell a car, go speak to Richard. But working in the automotive industry, he comes back with new cars every so often, and I get to sit and drive them. So good, not so good. Trying to figure out where the release brake on different car models, I don't understand why they just don't do the same. So the other day he came back and he's like, right, okay, we're going to get you your own car. It will be your proper car. What are your requirements? And I said, oh, colour must be good. These are the select colours I want. The other thing I need is I need a reverse camera because I have a tendency to bump into things. And then who knows, when God gives you a present, he gives over an abundance, right? When God gives, he gives better than we ever expect. So my husband came home with a brand new car, and my car talks to me. The car tells me that I'm coming into a crash area. My car tells me when I'm about to speed and keep to the traffic locations. And then it gets better. It's the gift that keeps on giving. I'm driving to work. I'm in the freeway. And then I suddenly see on the weird, what's the side mirror called? Oh, side mirror. Yeah. I really know nothing about cars, right? And there's a little illumination bit that tells me that the car is coming into my blind spot. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And I'm driving along and then I start thinking, oh God, it would be so cool if someone could invent something like this. If somebody could invent, you know, technology that will show us the blind spots, right? If somebody could invent technology that could show us what was going on, like could prevent us from major accidents in life, wouldn't that be cool? And guess what? God spoke to me. It was like, hello, I have the Bible. Hello, I have the Holy Spirit. And I started to think about it, all this on the way to work, driving in the morning. It's true, right? You see, there are data points being collected from the car, right, for all the accidents that happen. It's a record of what's happened in the past, and it helps predict what will be in the future. So it warns you that you're about to come into a high traffic incident area. It warns you that you're speeding. Is it not what the Bible is? The Bible is record of human history. It's the connectivity between God and humans. And it is there for us. It warns us. It gives us hope. You know, Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we may have hope." Right? Pretty cool. And then I thought, Holy Spirit, what's that? You see, the Holy Spirit prompts us. We all created after the image of God. We're all spiritual beings. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us and it guides us for things in our life, right? Holy Spirit quickens us. Yeah, it's when you walk into an area and you're feeling a little bit uncomfortable, it's the Holy Spirit prompting you, right? And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 13, I'm going to read verse 12, but what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So here I am thinking about technology, what's the latest thing to make squillions of dollars to help us in our life, to warn us of what's happening, when God's already given it to us. He's given us the Bible. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Pretty cool, huh? Let's pray. Heavenly and Father, I want to thank you for every single soul that's here today. Could have been anywhere, but there's no coincidences in your kingdom that they are sitting here today in this moment. Lord God, as the Holy Spirit talks, takes one message, can speak to every single person that's here. And I ask, Lord, that you open up our eyes and our mind, Lord. Show us the blind spots. Holy Spirit, guide us as we're navigating through the journey of life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'll get to some practical information, right? I need to tell you, because I am a little bit of an evangelist, about a discovery that I made. It's an app. I'm all about technology today, aren't I? This app is called BIOY. You might want to write it down. You can download it. It's free. It is a most amazing... Oh, but I better put my timer on so I don't go over. But it's the most amazing app because it teaches me how to read the Bible. Every day is broken down and there's a theme. There is a passage from the Old Testament. There's a passage from the New Testament. And there is either a psalm or a proverb. And I tell you what, it has been an amazing resource for me to help understand the richness of the Bible. Now, I've grown up a pastor's daughter. I could quote you Bible stories because I've listened to them ever since I was a kid. But because of this app, I've started to delve deeper and deeper into the Word, and I've started to see it in so many different lights. And the message that's on my heart today is called God is in Control. And for people like me, slight control freaks, it is an awesome thing to be able to surrender all to God. And I want to talk about a guy that they should really make a movie about. It's called David. And David's story is pretty cool. So for those who are not familiar with David, let me just give a bit of a rundown. But blockbuster Hollywood doesn't make movies like David does. The story of David is pretty cool. It's against all odds. He's the smallest of all brothers. Yes, Sean, the youngest of all. Don't worry, just because you're last doesn't mean you're the last. And he is picked, he's anointed by God, and he's chosen because he's got the heart after God, right? And so the story of David takes him as a shepherd's boy. It places him before David and Goliath. Everybody knows the story of great courage. He's coming across this huge giant, and he defeats, this little boy defeats a giant. Everybody knows that story. It's really cool. The other thing about David's story is it's a story about hope. Yeah, it doesn't matter where you've been, who you are today, God has plans and purposes for your life. And it's an amazing, amazing story. It also shows the story of weaknesses, because David is, after all, a man, right? But God still uses all of his weaknesses for good. You know, the affair with Bathsheba, from that came Solomon, and God still chose to use Solomon to build the temple of God. An amazing story about how God is so full of grace, so full of mercy. So I want to take the story about David just before he's king, right? So for those who don't know, 1 Samuel 16, he's anointed by Samuel to be the king. And it's all going well. He's best mates with Jonathan. And then King Saul, the right king there, hates him. And he's on fear. He's driven by fear. He flees the land and he's in hiding. Story comes to and fro. Love the story. And he comes to a place called Ziklag. Yeah? Ziklag. He's driven by fear. There's a prophet that speaks into his life and says, go home. Go home, David. And David still doesn't go home because he's fearful of what might be there, that Saul will take his life. And Saul's pretty adamant he will. He threw a spear at him. He's been chasing him. So he's, you know, it's not like he's made this up. And Ziklag is this place of compromise that David gets to because he is so fearful. And in this part of the story, you'll see that David starts to live on this grey area, right? He has... And it says that he's standing there before the king of that land and that he acts crazy so that they spare his life. This is a guy who's got a lot of fear in his heart. And then it talks about every time he goes and raids the land, how he twists the story, tells a little bit about the story about what land he's raiding so that he can find favor in the land of the king. This is where we're going to pick up our story from today. Now, the other thing I wanted to raise, just before I get to that point, is my father preached probably about a couple of months ago, and he said something and it kind of struck inside my heart, and I've been kind of pondering upon it. But it's to read the Bible with Scripture to interpret Scripture. And my first thing was like, Dad, what are you talking about? And then I suddenly thought about it. New Testament, they're always talking about the Old Testament, correct? They're always using Scripture to interpret Scripture. It's like a lens of which we see things, and it brings more clarity. It's like my mum loses her glasses. She can't function without them. Guess what? We have an optometrist in the house. Thank you, Aaron. She has like six pairs, some in my house, some in her house, some in the car. So she will never need glasses, right? Okay, so the lens that we're going to interpret the Scripture with today will be from Proverbs 16, and we're going to do 18 to 20. I'm just going to read it to you. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Better to be lowly in spirit among the oppressed than to share the plunder with the proud. And whoever gives heed to instruction prospers. And blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. So this BIOY, slightly dyslexic, Bible app has been delving me into the story of David, and I've been dissecting it, I've been thinking about it. And then I've had the lens to view the story of David through 1 Samuel. And I found three lessons that have really started to sit within me, dig deeper and help guide me. And retrospect is a beautiful thing, right? When you apply that back into past history. And I want to share with you some of the lessons that I've learned today and hope that they may be like your blind spot mirrors on the side thingy, my Bobby. That they may be a little bit of an indicator as your car starts driving to tell you, slow down because you're speeding, or actually you're going into a high traffic incident area. So I wanted to share with you the three learns that I have today with a little bit of personal story and the Scripture. You ready? Okay. So the first lesson that I learned was find strength in God. So we come to this point where David has come back. He's just been turned away to fight with the Philistines, and he's come back, and he's come back to his home, new home, Ziklag, and he's found that all the women and all the children are missing. Someone has just come in, raided the land, plundered it all, and taken everything away. And we come to 1 Samuel verse 30, verse 6 to 8. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and his daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Elimelech, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar, I'm saying the name so wrong, please forgive me, brought it to him. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Now the lens that we're going to look at this with is Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, or haughty spirit before fall. Now, what does this actually mean? You see, at this point, David, so consumed with fear, so he's living in Ziklag. What is fear? Fear is when you're not trusting God, correct? Because if you trust God, then you'll know that God has got your back, correct? So David's living in this moment where he's consumed by fear. He's living in Ziklag. He's come back and he has seen all his possessions, his wives, his children, everything gone. And he's talking probably at one of the lowest points of his life where his own men, these are his loyal men that have followed him through thick and thin, are sitting there talking about stoning him. And what does he do? It says there, but he found strength in the Lord his God. Number one, he found strength in the Lord his God. So Proverbs 16 verse 18 talks about pride before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. You see, pride, what is pride? When you look at the root of sin and God's creation, everybody knows God created heaven and earth. He created everything that was in it. He created order. He created Adam and he created Eve. And all the story knows about the serpent that came and whispered into Eve's ear. What was the serpent actually offering Eve? A bite of the apple, right? But it's more than just the bite of the apple. It was what? That you don't need God. Bite this apple, the fruit of knowledge, and you'll be like God. That means you won't need him. You're self-reliant. That cuts off from the created order. See, that was what the serpent was promising Eve. It was talking about life without God. Pride. And pride comes before destruction. Has anyone heard that? You just turn on the telly, see what's going on. Pride before destruction. So there's this stage in David's life where he has lost just about everything that means something to him. He's homeless, he's wifeless, he's childless, and he's got nothing there because he has decided to move away from God. Now, he was a man after God's heart, but he was consumed with fear. Fear makes you do crazy things, correct? And then it says in this point that he found his strength in God. So at this point was a moment that God used to open up his eyes to where he had been. It's a really critical point. The second thing is, David inquired of God, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Have you ever been to that point where you're kind of lost? You're at the crossroads and you don't know what to do. You know, fear might be governing your choices. You've got a big giant standing in front of you. What do you do? And David shows a perfect example of finding God and then asking and inquiring of God, what should I do? How often do we try and do things ourselves? You know, I'll make this decision based on my own self versus asking God. You know, circumstances didn't change automatically for David. I think a lot of people like to think, you know, we pray, we ask God, and then instantaneously it forms the way we expect it to form. But how do you know God doesn't work like that? This is the God of all creation. Whatever you can imagine, he can imagine better than you. How do I know? Just look at creation. No artist could ever even imagine. Every animal, every creature, everything has been intricately designed by him. So why are we trying to put God into a box? I wanted to show you a picture of the next slide. And it's about circumstances not changing, but perspective does. Can you have a look at this? This is a picture of Madonna and Child with the saints Jerome and Dominic. It's by Filippino. Hang on, I think spell check has changed the name. Lippo. And there was an art critic, and his name was Robert Cumming, and he was looking at the picture, and he was like, I don't understand. I'm looking at the picture, and it feels like the mountains are about to fall off the page. The people in the picture are kind of sitting in a very awkward position. It just doesn't look right. So he was sitting there looking at this picture, looking and looking and looking and wondering why it didn't feel right. And then suddenly, this guy's not a believer, it hit him. And he got on his knees. You see, when you get on your knees, the perspective suddenly changes. Circumstance didn't change, correct? But his perspective did. Because he realized that when the artist had created this picture, he created it in worship. He created it to be viewed whilst praying so that when it was hung, it would look a certain way. But in an art gallery, how do you hang a picture? Totally eye view, right? So you're looking at it and it's not quite right. You see, when David started to inquire of the Lord, when David found strength in God, the circumstances didn't automatically change, but what changed with his perspective? He suddenly got right with God. Now, I want to share with you a little bit of my own personal story about how this had affected my life. You see, a couple of years ago, I was working for a firm, international recruitment firm, and I missed out on what was, as I say, rightfully mine, but clearly it wasn't. I missed out on a promotion. And this hurt me badly. So I'd worked for 12 years for this firm. I'd given them so much of myself. And when I looked at the results of the person who got promoted versus me, I was like, hang on a second, I've beat them, but I'm 4 days a week and you're promoting them and they do it in five. So you're already paying me 25% less. There was so much bitterness in my heart at that point. So I did something that my dad told me never to do. Quit without a job. But anyway, you live and learn, right? So I left and I was so upset about the whole process. I did what only Phoebe Cho could do. Go find other people who are feeling the same way and start a business called Accelerate Women. You see, it was actually quite easy to find other people who were bitter about being passed over on something. It was actually quite easy to find people that were promised or didn't have chances, that had hit the glass ceiling. So what I did was I had these networking events where I connected with them, we'd share stories. And soon it suddenly didn't sit right because it became a little bit of a moan fest, shall we say, about men and our rights as women and what should be ours and what should be not. And then, you know, when you're operating and you know that the grace is not flowing, it feels so hard. So I was in this moment where it was feeling really hard, really, really hard. And God had opened up this opportunity for me. He had given me a scholarship to this conference which was going to change my life. I was convinced of it. And I was packing up my stuff. I was about to head onto the plane and I got an email. And this email came from somebody who I don't know. I've never actually met this person, but they know of me and they don't live in this state. But he had written me an email and it pretty much, I'm going to paraphrase here, said, go back to your cutting edge. Your business is wrong. It's built on the wrong principle. I'm about to go on a leadership conference on the other side of Australia. I was perplexed. I had no idea what that actually meant. It's too cheap to pay for Uber, so I got my dad to drive me to the airport. So I'm bawling my eyes out going, Dad, what's this email all about? I don't get it. And my dad's advice was just get on the plane, pray, go to your meeting. Go to your conference, be immersed by what's happening, and then we'll talk about it when you get back. Wisdom, right? It's also like 4 o'clock in the morning, so he was probably a little bit tired. So go back to your cutting edge. What does that mean? So my first thought was, oh my goodness, God, you want me to go back to the company that let me down? Are you serious? And then, who knows, God is a pretty awesome God. He was able to divert my flight. I was supposed to land in Melbourne for a stopover before heading over to Brisbane. God diverted the plane to land in Sydney, where I lived for 14 years. A couple of hours free, what do? I called one of my old work colleagues. She came out to have lunch with me. We're sitting down talking, and she's telling me everything that's happened since I left. And I was like, God, you definitely don't want me there. Because I heard these stories, and I was just like, that's not a part of what my future's going to look like. So I'm still confused. I get on the plane. This conference was called Gathering 2017, so not very long ago. And it was about emerging Christian leaders across this country to come together. They had like people in business, people in government, people from charities, not-for-profits. They were coming together, and you had to be under the age of, what was it? I was under the age of 35 because I was just scraping it. I had to call them and say, I'm kind of like a couple of months out. Is it okay? So I get there and I am just, I tell you what, on my knees, finding God. And it's funny how, you know, when you look at it, God sometimes uses something like that to open up your eyes. It was a shock to me. I did not expect it. But it opened up my eyes. Now, that conference changed my life for a couple of reasons. For those who know, I was bitten by those bed bugs. Remember the 100 bed bugs that got me? And my whole life, my health started to change. And it's such an interesting thing about how God uses, it might seem dire to the world, what's going on, but it transformed me from the inside out. I can assure you that at that moment, I found God on a whole new level. The other thing it says, inquired of God. Well, I tell you what, that was something that opened up my eyes, and then I started to connect to God in a whole different level. And my whole sense of worship, my whole sense of prayer, my whole sense of the Bible changed. I can't tell you the number of times I was on my knees, all vested up with those little swells, everybody, crying to God, what did this mean? Where do I go? What do I do with my life, my work, me? The number of times I drove out to the beach, there's this gorgeous beach near my house, and I just stood on the cliff and I just went, God, you are the God of creation. You made the oceans. I started watching the waves come through as it was lapping through, and I was like, wow, you made the tide. You made everything that was in it. What about me? What do I do, God? And then that's the thing, right? So humans think of humans with a small mind. They expect God to show up in a very little way to go, ta-da, here's the answer. But God doesn't work like that, because God changes you from the inside. God starts to work with you only He can. The Holy Spirit starts to open up your mind. And as you read the Bible, as you ponder and you dissect, it speaks to you in a whole different way. I tell you, that was a life transformational peace that I had. You know, that place was a place of compromise. I was proud. I had built a business that was not on the right ground. He was right. It was just painful to hear it at the time. But it transformed me and brought me so much closer to God. You know, on the outside, the circumstances didn't look great. I was all sick and still kind of like floating by. But I tell you, what was happening was a transformation on the inside. That was what was happening. And who knows, our God is a good God. He is an amazing God, because whatever I could imagine, He does it better. My car talks to me. Come on. That's cool. So that was the first lesson that I learned. The second lesson that I learned was to listen and trust in Him. And I'm going to go back to 1 Samuel verse 30, verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and they brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. And then David asked him, "Who do you belong to and where do you come from?" And he said, "I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite. My master had abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago, and we raided the Negev of the Kephrodites, some territory belonging to Judah, the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag." And then David asked him, "Can you lead me down to the raiding party?" Now let's use the lens of Proverbs 16, verse 20 to cross-reference that. "Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord." You see, when I was telling you my story, I was saying that we like to apply human lens to life, right? We like to put God into a box. We do it. But our God is the God of creation. Our God created the entire world and everything within it. If that is the God of creation, surely the circumstance, the giant that you're facing in your life, He's got better plans for you, right? He can do more than you can ever imagine, only if we listen and we trust in Him. You know, another interesting part of the story is these guys had just come from a place, everything was burned down, they'd lost their women, they'd lost their children, all their earthly possessions. They wanted to kill David. David had found strength in God. He'd inquired of God, and he asked, "Shall we start going after these guys? Shall we go get our things back?" And then what happens? There's an Egyptian, just a slave, that's sitting there, that has a need. You know, can you imagine? These guys have had everything taken and stripped away from them. They're ready for battle. They're trying to get out as quickly as possible to get everything that was rightfully theirs back. And then they see an Egyptian that's sitting there, starved, ill, forsaken by his masters. And what did they do? Did they leave him? No. They gave him what they had. Not bad. Pressed figs, some raisin cake. That's not bad. Quite yummy. For 3 days they took care of him, right? They took care of this guy that was deserted. And it's an interesting thing, right? Because God used that as an opportunity. They didn't know at that time that that guy belonged to the raiding party. They didn't know that they could. It could be God's destiny to line them to where their people were, their wives, where their children were. They had no idea. What they saw was someone who needed help, and they did the right thing by helping them with what was in their hand. And then God used that as an opportunity to lead them to what victory they had. Isn't that a beautiful thing? When you actually sit down and think about it, it is such a beautiful thing when you trust in God. And it doesn't happen the way you expect it to be. Because I'm sure these guys would have been sitting there going, okay, right, well, we've got a battle. We've got to go find these people. How are we going to do it? Oh, let's track them. You know, we'll do the Bear grill things. We'll look at all the tracks on the floor. We'll get all the army people ready. And they're coming up with their earthly strategy, right, with human eyes. And what happens? God gives them an opportunity. That opportunity is a slave that is sitting there in need. And they stop and they care for that slave with what was in their hand. I ask you, are you sitting there kind of thinking, okay, I need to get there. I'm in a hurry to go somewhere and do something. And God's just sitting there going, hello, attention, have a look here, right in front of you. Meet the need here. And you'll be amazed at what he can do with that. So amazed. I think sometimes we think of God, we limit God to our human eyes, right? Our human hearts. And we forget he is the God of creation. He is the God that created the heavens and the earth. And what is with their hand? You know, it's such an interesting thing. In their hand at that moment, they're ready for battle. They're about to go on the march to go get their women and their children and their plunder back. What did they have? They didn't have much. They only had some dried fruit, which is what they gave him, and it met his need. I want to encourage you, if you're sitting there and you're facing a circumstance and you're trying to decide what to do and where to go, you might have some big decisions that you need to make. What's in your hand? What are the opportunities, the God-given opportunities right in front of you? And I want to tell, back to my story, about listening and trusting God during this time. So this was gathering 2017. I had come back. I had this email. I was rocked with my health. I didn't know what to do. I had two things in my hand at the time. Two things. One was time and the other one's talent. Let's go back to time. I had a lot of time on my hands because I looked like a freak, if you remember me. I was all, like, swollen. Couldn't do much. I had time to do two things. Number one, I had time to pray. You know, at that conference, I met Dave Hodgson. He's the CEO of Palladian. And he taught me one thing. He said, every single Wednesday, Phoebe, I take that time out and I pray all day. I was like, all day? That's a long time. All day he goes and prays. He gets on his car, he drives out 2 hours to the countryside river, he gets on his jet ski and he prays on his jet ski. Like, hello, they don't teach you that in Bible school, do they? See, prayer is connectivity with God. Pray all through the day. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday, a thing that you do on Sunday. Prayer is your connectivity with God. So I said, oh, if this guy can do it, maybe I can do it. So every Wednesday, I made it my prayer day. I went and spent time with him. I cried out to him. I inquired of him. I got to know him better. I took my Bible, the B-I-O-Y app, fantastic app. I sat there reading the Bible, understanding it, seeing the different layers, the different textures, and I got to know God. Time was in my hand. Because I got to know God, he started to transform me from the inside out. It's not for the circumstance, but for me to change, my perspective to change. The other thing that was on my hand was talent. You see, God has blessed me with a certain set of skills, certain gift that is innate to me, just like he has for every single person here. every single person has been uniquely created. I know this. And if he can design the creatures, the animals, the plants with such beautiful design intricacy, you just think about it. The colors, the textures, the smells. If he can create that, what more can he do with you? What more has he put inside of you? You see, we all have talents. And I had a lot of time and I had a lot of talent, but I didn't know what to do with it. And then there was an opportunity. See, sometimes we're expecting the next big thing, that we're so focused on the next big thing, we don't just see what's right in front of our face. So it happened to be I got an email. Gosh, emails. People always email today, don't they? So I got an email from a young uni student who had said, hey, I've just graduated. I don't know what to do with my life. Can you please help me? And I was like, oh, I've got time. I got talent. This is what I've done for a living. I can surely meet for a free coffee because I'm also a cheapskate. Let's do this. So I sat and I had a coffee. And one coffee turned into two people, and two people turned into over four people, and four people turned into six people. And I suddenly had a group of people who were uni students. They were either, you know, in the process of finishing their degree or just finished, who were on this crossroads in their own journey of what they should do with their life. And I had an opportunity to sit with them, to spend time with them. And they were looking for me for career advice and guidance, because that's what I do. They had inspired me so much. That connection, that time that I had with them, filled my cup. It was an opportunity for us to share our faith. So it happened to be some of the guys in the group were of faith and some of them weren't. It opened up my eyes to a whole new way of doing things, right? Church isn't just on a Sunday. Church is us every single day out there in our world. And it was an opportunity for me to share my faith with people who didn't know God, but may not have walked into a church. You see, I think that we are always kind of looking for the next big thing that we forget to see what is right in front of our eyes. And I think that we forget what's in our hand. We're always expecting more. What's for me? When we have the little that we have, God multiplies. The last thing that I learnt as I wrap up is freely receive, freely give. Now, someone said to me not so long ago, these Christian people, they're preaching this Christian prosperity message, right? You give and then you get. So you give to me, you give to the church, and then you get some, you get blessed. And I think that message is all wrong. You see, it's not the prosperity message in terms of you give and then you get, but we have received, and from that received blessing, we give. Let's flip it around. Because when you think about it, God has given us so much, and it's from that abundance that we give out. It's not from we give out to get back. God gave us in the first place. God created the heavens and the earth. He put everything inside of it. And it's from the abundance that he's given us that we get to give out. So let's look at 1 Samuel, verse 30, 23. David replied, "No, my brothers." Oh, hang on. Let me context that back in. So they went, this Egyptian slave showed them the way. So they went there, they battled, they got their women back, they got their children back, they got their plunder back. They were victorious and they're coming back to camp. And to pretext that before, there was some men that were too tired. They'd been in battle for a while now, and they just didn't have any more left to give. So they sat and they waited by the lake, or river, body of water, while the others went to fight. And when they came back, some of the men were saying this. They were saying, "Well, we'll take it. This is ours. We went to fight for it. We wore the cost. We did the battle. We'll give them back their wives. We'll give them definitely back their children, but we'll keep the plunder because we fought for it." And this is what David said. David says, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and delivered into our hands the raiding party that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is the same as that of him who went down to battle. All will share alike. David made this a statute and ordinance for Israel from that day to this. Well, let's look at it with the lens of Proverbs 16, verse 9. Better to be lowly in spirit among the oppressed than to share the plunder with the proud. What does this mean? You see, this was a really important part for David's. This was just the moment before he's king. And he's got it all, right? He's got he's raided. He's got back everything. Everyone's like geared up. He could have technically taken it all because he was the raiding leader. It was all his wealth to keep. But what does David do? He remembers that everything was given by God, right? God delivered them. God let them have the opportunity to meet the Egyptian slave, which took them into the place where all their stuff was. God gave them the victory, and he remembered that. And freely I receive, freely I give. Yes, those guys that were waiting by the supplies, they didn't put their life at risk. They were sitting there tired and weary. And David could have just said, okay, well, what's mine's mine. You know, we did this. We keep this. We'll give it back their wives and children. But David said, no, because I remember that everything that I have comes from God, my God. So I will give the supplies. Isn't that an interesting thing? That concept? Because when you understand that it is God who created you, it's God who has given you everything, and from the abundance and overflow is how we give out, it changes our perspective. It's not just about, okay, so I give to expect something back in return. You know, this calculative type of givers. Oh, Kris Kringle present, $20. This year, I'll put the tally on for next year. It's not that. It's freely receive, I freely give. Freely receive, I freely give. And it says there that that was his ordinance. He made that the law. He's just become king, and the very first thing he does is he remembers God, where he's come from. It was God who gave him his victory, and he makes that the first law that he passes. This is the first act he does as king, David, to remember that it was God who gave us the victory. Isn't that a cool thing? I'll just talk for a moment on the law of multiplication. So going back to this prosperity message of I give and then I get. You look at the created order. God created the heavens and the earth. He put everything that was in there, and he created Adam and Eve. Just before that, it says there were rivers of gold and black onyx. He gave everything to Adam and Eve. And yet, Eve chose to do it her way, without God. We were the ones that broke it. Sin came into the world. But God had given us everything. You look at Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Freely he gave his life so that we may live. You know, I sit there and I think, gosh, our God is so good that he has given us so much. I go back to the story that I was telling before of what I'd learned, freely give and freely receive. I tell you what, God's grace is so good. You see, I had built this business on the wrong ground. There was bitterness, there was hurt, there was pride, and yet God takes everything and he uses it for his good according to his purposes. Romans 8:28, favorite verse of all time. You see, from that brokenness, he was able to use it for his good. How? I told you how God works in miraculous ways. Whatever we can fathom, he's got better in store for you. So I go back to this moment about back end of last year, right? I was just coming out of feeling better. I wasn't so swollen anymore, shall we say. I had it was the second group of interns that had come through. and it was funny, the first group of interns, actually, I'll backtrack. Go back to 2016, and I was conquering the world with my business and da-da-da-da, and I needed some workforce, right? And I wanted to look good. So what did I do? I put up this internship application online and asked and requested all these interns to come and work through. And I think about that now. It was all about what can I get from it? It will help me. I'll get more manpower to do the things that I need to do. It was all about me getting than me giving, correct? They would come because they needed work experience. So there was in something for them. But it was all based on what could I get out of it. You see, the second time around, and this is how I know God is so gracious and God is so good, because the second opportunity, it was different. The second opportunity wasn't about Phoebe rah-rah. The second opportunity was about what was in my hand at the time, which was time and talent and meeting the need that was right in front of me. And because of that, he was able to multiply and he was able to bless it. So one group of interns finished, the next group of interns came through, and who knows where we're going to go, but I tell you what, our God is a good God. On the back end of last year, and again, so we're kind of always expecting God to show up in this box so far away, we try and box him down to something and we don't see the opportunities that are right in front. And literally, I had an opportunity to start working again for somebody else. Oh, I wrestled with that. Can I work for another boss? But our God is so good and our God is so gracious. And I remember during the interview or the catch-up time as we were negotiating my contract and my boss was like, okay, so what do you want to do? And I was like, oh, well, I did this diversity thing. Didn't tell him I didn't do it right the first time round. And he goes, oh, yeah, okay, why don't you become head of diversity now? And I was like, yeah, okay, we'll do that. And I tell you what, our God is so good because he takes what was broken and he uses it all for his purposes. So all that time that I spent in this place, which was the wrong place, based on the wrong thing, he was able to take and create something so beautiful only he could imagine it. You see, last couple of weeks I've had some women start new jobs in Singapore, and that was based off what I had done wrong the first time around. Remember the first time around was all done about the rah-rah and the pride and the brokenness, how God uses that for his good. So in this new firm, I've been able to come up and work on this idea of recapturing female talent, because I realized that there are women that have come out of the workplace for a season, because we have to have babies, right? It takes time to bear them and then raise them. So we take some time out, and then how hard is it to come back into the world of work? Now, I struggled, and I only took 6 months. What about the other women? And from that, God uses all for his glory and his purposes. He elevates to a space where I'm able to now use that for his kingdom. So these girls have just started working in brand new jobs, and it was such a... You see, I'll go back to what's in your hand, the talent, right? I get to share this with business world. So I'm talking to companies and I'm saying, who are we created to be? What's the talent? What's the gift that you have? And people are like, yeah, what is it? Because I tell you what, this is a God thing, but this is a world thing. People are sitting there looking for meaning and purpose in life. And it's an opportunity. Freely we receive, so freely we give. And it's not about what we can get out of it. It is because God has given us so much. God has been able to transform my life from the inside out. And I tell you, I will never be the same. It wasn't so much the circumstances that changed. It was my perception. My perspective changed because I allowed him and me to connect on a whole new level. Now, those who know have seen me grow up at church. I'm the pastor's daughter. I know the stories, but I didn't know God. I had head knowledge, but I didn't have heart knowledge. I didn't have that soul connection. I ask some musicians come up. What's on your mind today? Where are you at? perhaps you have head knowledge, but you haven't yet crossed that line of heart knowledge, that connectivity where you sit there and go, God, I give it to you. You're in control. I want to trust you with everything. Perhaps you need to make that stand. It's a conversation that you will have with God. Perhaps you're facing some circumstances, some giants that are standing before you, and you're not quite sure what to do. And you're sitting there and you're scrambling and you're trying to think, what does human perspective say? And God's got, I've got better plans for you. I have a greater purpose for your life. If only you'll let me. Maybe he's trying to get your attention. As we close in prayer, Holy Spirit, let your presence come. We are created as spiritual beings. Every single one of us has a deep, deep, deep connection to you.